The first is in Judges chapter 5, please. Two women that have been before me very recently, and a little expression that is connected with each of them, the only two places I know it's found in the Word, and they have rather impressed me in just a few thoughts. I'll not take very long. There'll be plenty of room for someone else to give a word, I'm sure, for it'll not take me long to tell you the few thoughts that I had on mind in regard to these two persons before us. Now, the first is in Judges. Did I say Joshua? In Judges chapter 5 and verse 7. Perhaps we should read verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anah, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages increased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or a spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Turn over with me to chapter 20 of 2 Samuel, please. 2 Samuel, chapter 20. And we should read from verse 18. This doesn't give us the commencement of the story, but I trust you're familiar with it in measure at least. 2 Samuel 20, verse 18. Then she spake, saying, they were wont to speak in old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? Now the Lord bless the two short passages that we have read together, and I trust you have noticed that brief expression, a mother in Israel. Now, this you may feel is more directed to the sisters, and perhaps so, but the very fact that it was two women on these occasions that were required and were brought forth to act for God suggests to me a work that sisters very often can do if in touch and in fellowship with their God. Now, as far as I know, it's the only place where these two terms are before us, a mother in Israel. I know we do read of Sarah and a little somewhat favorable similar comment with her. But these are the only places I can recall where this a mother in Israel is before us. Now, in connection with the first one, Deborah, I would suggest to you that it was a bad, serious, troublesome time in Israel. The oppression was great. But here was a woman that arose, exercised before her God, and willing to spend herself in the blessing of God's needy people, Israel. When it comes to the second scene, it's David. He has been fleeing from Absalom, now returning again to take up his throne as king. And we have trouble that has arisen in Israel in a man that has sought to divide the people of God. And so Job has gone to destroy the man, to overcome him, to bring him his plot and plan to naught, and is going to destroy a city, the city of Abel. But this unnamed woman arises and is able to deliver the city from destruction. I would suggest to you that the first woman, Deborah, was a woman that had the people of God at heart, concerned about the depressing condition in Israel, and seeks to act for God in this needy hour. In the second case, it's the inheritance of the Lord that this woman has on heart, in heart, and she's able to preserve God's inheritance from the one or those that would destroy it, preserving God's inheritance for His glory and His honor. Now, just for a little while, when we think of the first scene, a dark day in Israel's history, to be sure. Here was the oppressing enemy, and there was little that they could do as they were hiding from the enemy and seeking to find shelter and unable to find deliverance. No deliverer could be found when this woman steps forward. I would take it, keeping her own place as a woman. I don't think for a moment that either of these women were stepping out of their place as far as the mind of God was concerned. They were acting for God in an hour of need, and the Lord blessed and used them and brought deliverance on each occasion. And so, first of all, this woman was, I want to think of her as her dwelling place. Just a few thoughts that I gathered together in my meditating upon her. First of all, she was the woman that had a dwelling place. You may have noticed, we didn't read the whole story, which would have been more enlightening, but she dwelt under a palm tree. Now, I don't know of anyone else that is a dweller under a palm tree in Scripture, but here was one woman that evidently found a shelter there. I understand that the thought of the palm suggests the place of victory, seems to suggest victory. And so this woman must have known something of victory in her own private life, in her dwelling under the palm tree. I wonder what we know of victory in my own private life. If I'm going to, like this woman, Deborah, be a help and a blessing to others, I will need to know something of victory in my own private life, in my home life, in my assembly life, as I move in a world such as this. Knowing something of God in the life of the believer is a necessity. Then she's spoken of as a prophetess. Now, so far as I know, she wasn't out of her place in her prophesying. What she prophesied, we are not really told, other than the fact that she stepped forward on this moment of need and appoints or refers to another that was to act for God on behalf of Israel at this time, take the preeminent place in leading the armies forth in victory. And so she was at least a prophet there. But that would remind us of the fact that she was one God had spoken to. The voice of God had been heard speaking to this woman betimes, exercising her soul and stirring her to the need and able to discern whom God would have on it at a time such as this. And so we have indeed a woman that knew something of hearing the voice of God. I want to think of her as one that recognized Israel's sad condition, the depressing condition that they were in, the enemy overpowering them, unable to free themselves, depression on every hand. And so she's a woman that's concerned about the condition that prevails there. She's one that knows the mind of God. Not only did God use her as a prophetess, but she's able to speak the word of God as to Barak, a man that is to be encouraged to go forth as the leader in Israel and bring deliverance to the needy Israel at this oppressing time. She has the mind of God as to encouraging this man. Evidently, Barak was a timid man and not of the type that would go forward on his own, needed encouragement in order to act for God. And so she was able to encourage Barak at this time. I notice when we come to chapter 11 of Hebrews, Barak's name is mentioned there. Deborah's name. Barak's name is mentioned, and so she's encouraging a man that indeed was used of God. I was thinking, too, of her willingness to go forth in the battle. Evidently a timid man, Barak wouldn't go alone. She would have to go with him, and she's willing to go. But, says she, the victory won't be credited to you, to a man. It'll be a woman to whom the credit is given. Not her, of course, happened to be another woman, but she's willing to go forth to support as best she can the need of Barak at this time. Then I was thinking of her as a praising woman. I'm barely just touching on these things that were impressing my mind a little in my meditating upon them. A woman that knew something praising God. Chapter 5 of Judges gives us a song. Not many songs in our Bible, but here is one of the few that so wonderfully rises to such heights and glory and honor to God as she's praising the God of her salvation, the God of blessing that has freed Israel from the foe, delivered them. Able, of course, to discern those that had exercised themselves at a time such as this. Some that, alas, seem to have, shall I say, a sentence of condemnation set against them, rather than arising to accomplish something for God as they could have. Some of them remained in ships. Some of them were more occupied with their sheep and the lambs and the bleating of them, and a whole lot of other things that are suggested that stood in the way of them acting for God. But thank God there were some prepared to set aside even the pen of the writer and other things to act for God in an hour of need. And so this woman could now mention just a little picture, a little preview of the judgment seat of Christ, when acts that were done in time will be noted and rewarded in a coming day. And so here's one that is produced by her exercise, rest for Israel, for we find they have a long period of rest, 40 years is it, and so there's blessing flowing out from the exercise of this woman. Now just for a little while, I want to take you to the other woman we made reference to. I think I already said she's unnamed, as far as a name is concerned. That wasn't important in her mind, I suppose, if she had aught to do with writing the account, and at least it wasn't so important in heaven's mind. No doubt it's registered there, but it's encouragement to know that God is willing and able and looking for a sister willing to rise to exercise herself and fulfill God's will in the little lot that is hers while here. Again, I want to suggest to you that there's a sphere in which sisters are permitted to act, other spheres in which they're not expected to act publicly. But on this occasion, and I would suggest to you that it reminds us of the low ebb Israel were in, that the Lord had to take up a woman and use her rather than exercise men that seemed to be lacking. But remember, dear brother, God is looking for men that will act for Him. Remember, sister, if there's not the man to act, God is looking for sisters that are willing to rise to the occasion and fulfill His will in seeking to be a help to the people of God. A few things in connection with this woman. I should refer a little more to the setting. Here is this man that has risen up, and he's trying to divide Israel. To your tents, O Israel, are the last words of the previous chapter that we didn't read that, chapter 20 of 2 Samuel. But that was where we find this, the condition of things prevailing in Israel, a division among the people of God, and this man, Sheba, was his name, that was the instigator of it. We notice that Job then goes forward by the command of David to trace him down, and they find him having hid himself in a little town or city, as it's called, and the name of it is Abel. Now, of course, it's the same name and the same meaning as the first, second man born into this world, Cain and Abel, and it seems that that means vanity, so there was no great a name as far as honor to the name, as far as the city was concerned, but it was a part of the inheritance of the Lord. Not only that, but I find in the light of what little is said about it, that it was a place where evidently matters were settled. I would suggest to you that it would be what we would call the final court of appeal, where matters were settled, the important things came to the judges of the place, and they were the final court of appeal, perhaps is the simplest way we can describe it. So you see, it was an important city. The very fact that it was a part of the inheritance of the Lord was valuable and precious in the sight of heaven and precious in the sight of this woman. And so the hour of need has arisen. Job is battering the walls to cast them down in order to lay hand upon the man, the instigator of the trouble that's taken place in Israel's camp or company. And so this woman appeals to Job. I just noticed a few things about her. I said she was an unnamed woman, and I was impressed to think that that was true of her, no name given, and yet heaven's record of her would be very important, I'm sure, but not so far as the record of Scripture is concerned, but she has a place on the Scriptures as acting for God in such a marvelous way. I was thinking of the inheritance of the Lord being so valued by her. What would that suggest to us today? God's inheritance. I would suggest to you that that has to do with everything linked with the Christian's life as a believer. The moment I'm saved, I've been brought into a new relationship with heaven. I'm one who now has a Bible at hand with the Spirit of God to reveal to me divine truths that otherwise I would be ignorant of altogether. Thank God for the Spirit revealing the truth of God. And so as I think of my Bible, perhaps that would in a sense cover in quite a measure the inheritance of the Lord for us today. For Israel, it was the land into which they were entered, Canaan, to take possession of it. And God had given them that land, speaks of it as His land, and yet lent to them, loaned to them, they were to occupy it for God. Alas, we find trouble from the very beginning seems to exist. Satan seems to have his way in leading Israel astray so often. But thank God, the inheritance was valued by at least some of the people of Israel. Very interesting to think of quite a number of cases. Ahab one day wanted the vineyard of Naboth, and of course Naboth wouldn't give it. We might think as we read that story that it was a simple matter for him to sell it, as Ahab was prepared to pay for it, or give him a better vineyard if he would. But no, it was the inheritance of the Lord. It was precious to Naboth, and he would rather die than sell it or give it away. And indeed, it cost him his life. Thank God for that man who valued and treasured the inheritance of the Lord. I wonder, my dear brother and sister, if we treasure God's inheritance. The Word of God, first of all, that it contains, it gives me a pattern and a path for me as a child of God in my life and walk here. I think perhaps in one particular way, the local assembly has so lovely, beautifully pictured in the inheritance. Thank God for that day in my life's experience when I began to learn a little of the truth of the local assembly, the importance of it in the light of Scripture, the only God-given path so far as the Christian is concerned for us to occupy today. And if I discover that, I'm very sure of this, it'll be I want to please the Lord and seek to be where He would have me be and maintain it by my help at all cost. This woman valued and treasured the inheritance of the Lord. She wasn't prepared to give it up. She was going to hold it at all costs. And so, first of all, she appealed to Job. Job, the leader of the army, that general that had fought many a battle. And she begins to talk to him about it being the inheritance of the Lord. Is he going to swallow it up? That's just what he was going to do. Destroy it for one man. Think of that. Why, going back to Deuteronomy, you remember when they were to attack a city, the first thing they were to do was offer peace. If there was a willingness for peace, then peace was to be shown. And only war if there was no acceptance of peace. Job had forgotten about that. This woman realizes that it's the city, the inheritance of the Lord. It cannot be rendered or given up by Job to Job or anyone else, destroyed by Job or anyone else. And so she's pleading with him and finds out the cause. She appeals to the elders of the city. She's a woman that seems to have weight with them. She's able to present to them the situation, the true cause, and the only remedy. And we find the story ends beautifully sad indeed in the man losing his head and it being cast over the wall to Job. And he departs from the city. But here's a woman that has the honor of preserving the city that of God's inheritance for God and for the people within it. Now I just want to briefly sum this up. These two women are spoken of as mothers in Israel. Now, we're not connected with Israel today, but we're connected with the family of the Lord, the Lord's family. Every one of us are a part of that blessed company. When we come to think of the local assembly in a very special way, we have a privilege, an honor as being linked with it. But I wonder sometimes if we enter into and really are able to fulfill all that God would have us in connection with our place, with the local assembly, our being there. What a happy privilege it is to be with the saints. even though others perhaps sometimes fail to come. Don't fail to be there, dear young Christian. Not only that, but is it valued by me? Is it everything to me? The place where God has placed His name, the place where His Word has full course to go forth unhindered and unfettered. Thank God for the local assembly. I know nothing upon the face of the earth to compare to it. It's that that is precious to my soul, and I trust is precious to every truly saved one here tonight. This woman, the first woman, was able, with a heart of concern, to preserve the people of God, free them from the enemy that would oppress, preserve them from the sword of the enemy that would bring them low and rob them of everything that they had. Thank God for that mother in Israel. The second one was a woman that valued and treasured the inheritance of the Lord. She was prepared to do anything and give anything for His preservation, and so is found bringing deliverance to those people in this hour of need and preserving the testimony of God in the land. Brethren and sisters, we're not all going to be great. We're not all going to be wonderful in regard to perhaps our position here, even in the assembly. We may be seemingly very unimportant and out of sight as far as the most are concerned. But remember, if the Lord has saved you and given you a place in the local assembly, it's in order that you might be of service for Him there. And remember, there's plenty of trouble in this poor world today. It's just filled with it on every hand. But I can walk through it in a path of separation from the evils and seek to be a testimony and a deliverer for others in their hour of need. And I can be a preservative of the assembly of God and the truths connected with us as the people of God. May the Lord help us to know more of what it means to be that. I need this. And I trust as it's spoken a little to my heart, the few scattered thoughts may impress you as well.